Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso. Today I'm on the road in El Cajon, talking with Ben Colasso, the president of the East County Chaldean American Chamber of Commerce, and we're speaking about a very serious subject, which is the uprisings across Iraq. Ben, welcome to the show.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Now, as we're taping this on Wednesday afternoon, we're hearing that the city of Mosul is in the hands of terrorists, a group that is considered by some to be worse than Al-Qaeda. Tikrit is also under siege, and there are terrorist attacks going on in a number of other cities, some of them close to Baghdad. Hundreds of thousands of people are fleeing for their lives, prompting a humanitarian crisis. Ben, this has to be a tremendous concern to people here in El Cajon, where we have tens of thousands of Iraqi immigrants. What's the latest that you are hearing from your sources here and in Iraq?
The latest that we've been hearing from community members who have contacted us was that about 300,000 people fled the city of Mosul to neighboring cities for fear. I think that they are not being protected by the local government, as well as that was supposed to be posted Iraqi military protecting them. So it's kind of chaotic and barbaric at the same time. There have been quite a few murders and kidnappings already. I think what's interesting and what we just found out today was that there was $250 million that was seized from various banks in and around that area. So I think that makes the ISIL the wealthiest terrorist group, and the ISIL stands for the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant. So they stole $250 million, and
wow.
that's scary and really eye-opening, and I think we need to be paying close attention to that.
That is a very terrifying thought. And there's also the concern that the Iraqi police, the security forces who were trained to protect the Iraqis, seem to have fled their posts and simply let this happen.
Yeah, I think moreover, what we were hearing from people from different contacts that we have back in Iraq, they said that the lieutenants, captains, and generals who were manning the post fled before even shots were fired. So that raises some eyebrows and is skeptical. A lot of people are saying that this was maybe intended by the government and was a bigger plan. But, you know, whether it was or it wasn't, people should stand up and they should unite against this sort of thing. You know, there's a lot of collateral damage. There's a lot of civilians caught in the crossfire and fleeing their homes.
Now, Ben, do you still have family over there? Is this affecting you directly?
No, we don't have any family, but we do maintain a lot of relationship with political officials and mainly like family leaders. You know, we have quite a few of those back home. So it's chaotic. It would be like, to put in perspective for the listeners, it would be like La Mesa, Santee, and El Cajon all evacuating in one day. I mean, just kind of imagine what that would be like to happen. I mean, we can't fathom that here, but we read about it, and I just kind of want to put it in perspective for listeners.
It is truly mind-boggling. This must be very difficult for the Iraqi Chaldeans here in our community, or for that matter, the many other Iraqis who are not Chaldeans here. Ben, what are you hearing from them?
Definitely there's a lot of concern for the lives that are there, for also the investments that are there. A lot of Chaldeans that are here own property and businesses. So, and you can see some of the pictures by just doing a simple Google search or YouTube search, and you'll see the deterioration of infrastructure, looting, car bombings, fires, and what have you. So the uncertainty is there.
Right. Now, this has all occurred, of course, after the U.S. withdrawal of troops. And now the government of Iraq is pleading for help on the international stage. What is the answer here? Ben, what, if anything, do you believe that the global community should do in response?
I think more so not the international community, but the international moderate Muslims internationally within the community here and in the community in the Middle East and in Iraq, I think that moderate Muslims are the key to either call this for what it is and put a stop to it. They need to voice their distaste, disapproval, join together. I mean, we're not hearing any of their voices. All we hear about when we hear about Islamist extremist groups that take over cities or engage in violent activities, and we don't hear anything from the moderate Muslim groups. I mean, there, I would think that out of the total population of Muslims throughout the world, and specifically in the Middle East, there are more moderate Muslims than extremists, and that would indicate that. I mean, and that's what extremists mean. It means on the bell curve of different sides. So they need to step up to the plate and step up and fight for their country and for common sense, and not sit on a boat and throw the oars and just go with the waves. They need to grab this by the horns and handle it immediately.
Very important thoughts, Ben. Thank you for sharing that with us. And for those readers who may not be familiar with the Chaldeans, they are Iraqi Christians who trace their heritage back to the ancient Babylonians in Mesopotamia, the cradle of civilization. Now, Ben, we also have one of our interns here, Jaden Jimenez from High Tech High School. And, Ben, Jaden has been doing some research on this issue and has a question that he would like to ask.
Hi, Ben. So I wanted to ask if you knew what's happening around the neighboring countries, how it's impacting them, being that there's so many evacuations going on. So there's people being pushed into these neighboring countries, such as Syria, Turkey, etc.
So what we've been hearing is that, and this is... Everybody has their own theory about what happened, because the idea that Mosul could be taken over in 24 hours is something that was illogical for most people. So one theory about what we've been hearing is that the opposition group to Bashar al-Assad was responsible for getting this terrorist group, ISIL, over into Iraq, and that way they can sit back and say, look, America, we told you guys we needed help, and not just militarily. So that's what we've been hearing. So that way they cause so much chaos in the region that the United States can't help but intervene.
Interesting. So it's the opposition to Bashar Assad, the Syrian dictator, that could be behind this. We're also hearing that there is a massive flow of refugees into places like Kurdistan. Are you hearing anything from Kurdish Americans here in East County? Any updates on the situation there that they're getting from their friends and relatives back in Kurdistan?
Yeah, the Kurdish government and the Kurdistan regional government has opened their doors to a lot of people fleeing their homes and spilling over into Kurdistan. That's the extent of it. I think it's a little bit too premature how long that they're going to be there for and exactly. I mean, I think everybody's at a point now and they're asking themselves, okay, what now? So if they're at Kurdistan spilling over, or they're spilling over, they wouldn't be spilling over into Syria, that's for sure, because it is just as chaotic, or if not more, in Syria than it is in Mosul. But I think they're just going to be scattered everywhere and anywhere. We've been hearing that Tikrit has also been affected by this and has been taken over. So,
yes.
And that also raises a lot of suspicion at the very least. It raises a lot of questions, because this militant group is Sunni, and Tikrit is a predominantly Sunni area. So that's why I think a lot of theories are starting to come out, whether or not this was orchestrated by the opposition against Bashar al-Assad or orchestrated by the Iraqi government. It's kind of too premature, and we don't have that sort of intelligence on the ground to know. But everybody, it's interesting at the very least to take into consideration all the different theories, and we can kind of, you know, pencil them out on paper over here.
Now, there are also implications for Turkey. In Mosul, 80 Turkish citizens have been taken hostage, Reuters News Service is reporting, and the Turkish government is warning that there will be serious ramifications if any of them are harmed. Retaliation against the militants. On Wednesday, we were seeing the ambassadors of the NATO alliance holding an emergency meeting in Brussels at Turkey's request, and who knows what's going to come out of that.
Well, I think rightfully so. People have to respect the engagements of when you have an embassy or if you have a consulate in different countries. So if they were harmed in any way, then it's the way the rules are of engagement are written and things like that. But I mean, that also, I think, amplifies that theory to get Turkey involved. And there's another unstable country that people talk about now, sort of like out of the side of their mouth. You know, what do we do about Turkey? But the whole Middle East, I mean, Turkey has been involved in various planes being shot down and denying whether airspace belongs to whom. So it's also obviously not a stable region in the geopolitically a player in that region. So I wouldn't be surprised if this was somehow orchestrated, and I don't want to come off as sounding like a conspiracy theorist, but just sort of try to imagine to the listeners out there, and I said this before, but I want to say this again, an area the size of, let's say, La Mesa, Santee, and El Cajon, and just being taken over by one day.
Yeah, it is astounding. And here's a figure to keep in mind. Ben, earlier you said 350,000 people evacuated from Mosul. The latest word just in from Reuters is it's now 500,000 people fleeing for their lives in the city of Mosul alone. And of course, other cities' evacuations going on. To put that in perspective, during the 2007 wildfires here in San Diego County, we had 500,000 people evacuate. And at the time, they said that that was the largest evacuation in world history ever for any natural disaster. That's what's going on across Iraq.
Yeah, and I mean, it's quite different. That mass evacuation was natural, and this is now man-made and horrific and barbaric and nasty. People are fleeing because they're afraid that they're going to die by being murdered and slaughtered, and rather than a fire. I just think it's that danger and putting it in a perspective that's more real.
It must be absolutely terrifying for the people left over there.
Indeed.
Ben, do you have any closing thoughts on this for our listeners on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice?
You know, just being the president of the Chaldean American Chamber of Commerce, Mosul is the Nineveh Plains of ancient times. So this hits home with a lot of Chaldeans, obviously, who feel sad about what's happening, and they see their ancestry lands and artifacts and or infrastructure being torn. But again, I want to speak and plead with the moderate Muslims in the communities everywhere that the ball's in your court. I mean, there's very little we can do here living in the United States, but there are a lot of ties and family ties and friendship ties. But I think what needs to bring us together is not theology or ideology, but more so a commonality that we're all Iraqis. And who wants to watch their own country burn into ruins by some ludicrous bunch of probably illiterate militants? It's a shame. It's embarrassing. It's a genocide, and we won't stand for it.
Ben, thank you very much for sharing that call for peace. We've been speaking with Ben Colasso, the president of the Chaldean American Chamber of Commerce here in San Diego's East County. Ben, thank you very much for joining us here today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.